الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, certain acts of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. And those actions can be divided into two categories, two major categories. First is called fara'iz. Fara'iz comes from this word farz. Farz means something which is required, which is obligatory, which is mandatory. And farz refers to those acts of ibadah which a person is supposed to do in any case. And if a person doesn't do, then they will be held accountable for why they missed those acts of ibadah which are fara'iz. So for example, in our salah, there is farz salah. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, those are farz fasting. Spending money, zakat, that's spending money which is farz spending in the path of Allah. So that's one category of amal, of acts of worship. Then there is a second major category, which is that of nawafil. Nawafil or nafil refers to those acts of worship which are not technically required, which are optional, which are not necessary, but if a person does them, they are extremely beneficial for attaining the qurb, the closeness, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will also attain the muhabbat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person doesn't do them, then there is no technically sin on that person. However, we deprive ourselves of this khair. We deprive ourselves of this incredible blessing and this incredible love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to those who do these nawafil. So today we live in times when our tabiat, our temperament, there is a lot of laziness and negligence and heedlessness, and we just try to pray our faraiz and sunnat, and then we don't think about the nawafil too much. So we should understand, however, in the deen of Islam, these nawafil, they have many benefits. They have many benefits, and we just want to mention a few of them today, inshallah, so that we understand the merit, the virtue, the fazila of these nawafil, these nafil acts, which technically are not required, but extremely effective in drawing a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the first faida or the benefit of nawafil is that through this, through our nawafil, a person can establish a rabata with Allah. Rabata is an Arabic word, and you can attach, you can maintain a taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a taluk which is extremely close to Allah, close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times a person, when you have a close taluk or a relation with someone, you are able to get a lot of benefit in a small amount of time, as opposed to someone who doesn't have a taluk with you, right? So think about this in ordinary dunya, in the world, that there is a labor, there is a laborer, right? A daily wager, let's say someone who does some mazduri, and it's a holiday, it's his day off, and all the other laborers, they went away. But this person, he comes, and he is still there, right? And someone, the Malik, the owner, asks him that, why did you come? He says that I wanted to get the work done. I want to work extra. Even though I'm not required to be here, but I want to help you complete your work. So I'm presenting myself to you. Now, when the Malik will look at this, the owner will look at this person, his jazba, his intention, his commitment. So it's possible, highly possible, that on average, his salary would be that he might say that I'm going to pay you 100 rupees for every day. But for this one day when he came, which was not his duty, beyond the call of duty, when he's coming on a day off, the Malik, the owner might say that now for this day, I'm going to pay you 1,000. 1,000, right? Normal salary is 100 per day. But when he goes and does something extra, the nafil, then the Malik is willing to pay him 1,000. So this is what we learn in our deen as well. In a hadith it comes that that person who prays their Fajr Salah and that they continue sitting there and they engage themselves in some remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until finally the sun comes out. And then after that they pray 2 rakat Ishraq, which is a Nafil Salah. Praying this 2 rakat Nafil Salah, one will get the reward of doing 1 Hajj and 1 Umrah. And the Sahabi who was narrating this, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this sentence, he repeated this thrice, that he will get the Kamil reward, the Kamil reward, the complete reward, the complete reward, the complete reward. The complete reward of 1 Hajj and 1 Umrah. A person is surprised that Hajj is such a, it's a difficult ibadah, requires so much struggle and requires also so much time and money. And these 2 rakat, the person is getting the same sawab, the same reward as 1 Hajj and 1 Umrah. So the scholars, they explain this. They explain this, they say that one is called Rabata, the other is called Zabata. Zabata was your daily routine, something which you do as your, which we're supposed to do, which you're required to do. And then Rabata is when you go beyond the, when you go beyond the call of duty, when you do something which is extra, right? So one day the driver, he comes to you and he says that, sir, I have this, I bought this bottle of honey for you. He didn't have to do that. He just wanted to bring that bottle of honey that I was passing by the store and I thought that you like honey. So I just bought this bottle and I want to present, I want to gift it to you. So when the owner takes that bottle, he is thinking in his heart that, look, my driver has so much taluk with me, that he cares about me so much, that he's thinking about my likes, what I like. He didn't have to bring this bottle of honey, but he wants to express this muhabbat that he has for me, this taluk that he has for me. And as a result of that, it's possible that the Malik might pay him, right? Normal salary might be 1,000 rupees. He might say that I want to pay you 100 rupees for just bringing this bottle of honey for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this act, that when a person goes beyond the fara'is. Now fara'is, salah for example, is something that's required, that we're supposed to pay and we're supposed to pray and we'll get the ajr, the reward according to what we are supposed to get, right? It's according to the hisab. That itself is also a lot, right? Praying fara'is also, we should not diminish the importance. That is also a way to attain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then a person who goes beyond the fara'is and does nawafil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of love for that person. And then when Allah loves that person, tam kehte na bade apni shan ke mutabik dete hain. People who are big, they give according to their own shan, according to their own majesty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also gives to such a person according to his own shan. Allah opens up the mouth of his treasures and gives a very big inam to this person. Then the second benefit of nawafil, which comes in hadith, is that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the amal of a person, will look at the actions of a person, will look at, for example, the salah of that person. And the first question will be asked about a person's salah. And if there is any shortfall in their fara'is, then the nawafil will be able to compensate for the shortfall or for any shortcomings in our fara'is. So Allah will look at our nawafil and use that to offset any kami or any loss in our fara'is. So in this hadith, the Prophet explained this very clearly, that this will be the day of Qiyamah, and our amal, our actions will be presented, will be asked about them. The first question will be about salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels, and even though Allah knows the answer, but Allah will ask the angels that, my servant, look at his salah. Is it kamil or is it incomplete? Is it perfect or is it imperfect? And if it is complete, then that will be written down. Any person will get the reward, complete reward for those salah. But if there is some deficiency in our fara'is, in farz salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to now look at his nawafil. Does he have any nawafil in his account? And if there are some nawafil in this person's account, those nawafil will be used to offset the loss in this person's fara'is. And then the hadith continues that in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab of the other acts of worship. For example, fasting and zakat and all these other ibadat. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will proceed, that if there is any shortcoming or shortfall in fara'is, Allah ta'ala will offset that using our nawafil. So not only this, number three, these nawafil that we pray, they also become a fence, a protective fence, which protects our fara'is. Yani, having a habit of praying nawafil or doing acts of nawafil, they can protect our fara'is. So any person who has a habit of praying nawafil, they will be able to pray their fara'is in a better way and in a more consistent way with all the etiquettes as well. And on the other hand, if a person lacks or is lazy in their nawafil, then what happens is, this is a downward spiral. It has a domino effect, that if a person is lazy about their nawafil, then the natija, the result, will be that eventually a person will become lazy about their sunnat and might also end up leaving their sunnat. And then if a person, when they become lazy about their sunnat, then the result of that will be that a person will eventually become lazy about their fara'is, and it may also end up leaving their fara'is. And once a person becomes lazy about their fara'is and ends up leaving their fara'is, then that person is deprived of the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is deprived of the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we pray we should have a habit that not just pray our farz, but along with our farz, we pray our sunnat and nawafil as well. These nawafil will, it's like a hisar, it's like a fortress. These nawafil will stand like a fortress around our fara'is. And as a result of this, our fara'is will be protected and will be more rewarding in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next benefit of nawafil, in hadith the Prophet said that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will forgive all the sins of that person, even if they are the amount of the foam on the sea, on the surface of the sea. And you just jhaag hoti hai, right? The foam that you see, this, it's infinite, right? You can't count that foam. So that's the example that the Prophet used to explain that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, then even if his sins are that amount, and if they're innumerable, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of the sins of that person. So this is a sa'adat, a glad tiding, that a person who prays, this is a tawfiq from Allah, that you get the tawfiq to pray nawafil, because it means that automatically all the sins that we do will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this amal. And the next thing which comes in a hadith is that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands the angels that for every amal that he is doing, give him the reward of sadaqah. give him the reward of sadaqah. In these nawafil, not only are we getting a separate reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for praying these nawafil, for doing these nawafil, in addition to that, we are also getting the reward of spending a sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of us will be familiar that when you do some sadaqah, when you spend something in charity in the path of Allah, then sadaqah are a means through which you can avert calamities. Sadaqah are a means through which you can save yourself from bad things, diseases, sicknesses, accidents, you know, these calamities that happen in a person's life. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that sadaqah is a very effective way through which you can thwart, you can move away these calamities from your life. So have a habit of paying sadaqah. So in other words, when these nawafil are rewarded like sadaqah, it means that because of nawafil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves this person from calamities, from musibate. Allah removes the musibate from this person's life. Now you see that, you know, all of us, we make so many du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're so worried. We ask Allah, we're concerned about this, that Allah remove the parishaniya from my life. Remove the calamities from my life. Remove the bad, the things that are happening in my life, the difficulties, the tests in our life. Many people, all of us, in fact, we're concerned about this. We're worried about this. We make dua to Allah. One of the beautiful strategies that we have in order to remove these parishaniya and musibate from our life, the amal that the Prophet ﷺ is prescribing for us, is that we develop a habit of praying nawafil regularly. So we pray our farais already, right? Along with the farais, if we can add the nawafil, the barakat of this nawafil is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from these musibat and calamities that come in a person's life. And the next benefit which comes in a hadith, Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala an, he narrates this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet ﷺ said that those people who have a habit of praying nawafil in this dunya, then for this act that they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return on the day of Qiyamah will bless them, will grant them with such a noor, will make them stand on noor. They will be given noor on that day. And this is a noor which is going to illuminate for them their surroundings. Otherwise, the day of Qiyamah will be a very dark day. There'll be a lot of darkness on that day. But the people of Iman, they will have this noor on their head. Just like you have a torch, right? If there's a person who's holding a torch, then you can see in the light of that torch. And there'll be some people like that on the day of Qiyamah, that they will have like a torch in their hand. And in the light of that torch, they will be able to travel in that pitch darkness which is around them. And then, right, how can we increase the light that we have? These nawafil will come to our rescue. That those who have a habit of praying nawafil on the day of Qiyamah, this nawafil will change into noor. And, you know, now if there is a person who has a cell phone light in their hand, that's one type of a light. Someone has a battery in their hand. Someone has a torch in their hand. Someone has a bulb in their hand, right? So people who have a bulb in their hand, their light will be much more, right? It'll be enough, will be sufficient for them, perhaps even sufficient to guide other people as well, to benefit other people as well. So those people who have this noor of Iman on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be more happy, they'll be more pleased on the day of Qiyamah, and they'll be able to walk through, journey through the day of Qiyamah very quickly and very easily because of the light and the illumination that they carry with them. And the best way, the easiest way to get this noor on that day of Qiyamah is to develop a habit of praying nawafil in this dunya. And not only this, the next thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a hadith is that a person who prays their Fajr Salah, and then they're sitting there in the masjid or in their place where they prayed their Salah until the sun rises. And after the sun rises, they pray two rakat, Nafil Salah, which is Ishraq, two rakat. In return for these two rakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the fire of Jahannam haram on that person. That fire of Jahannam will not be able to touch that person because of the two rakat nafil that they prayed after sunrise. So imagine, because of these nawafil, a person, they will get the noor on the day of Qiyamah, getting noor on the day of Qiyamah on one hand, and the fire of Jahannam will become haram for that person on the other. Yani Allah will not put that person in the fire of Jahannam, will not be able to touch that person. Yani this person will go into Jannat. And then the next thing that Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a hadith, that Hazrat Rabi'a bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that I was with the Prophet ﷺ when the Prophet ﷺ said this, that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person my companionship, yani the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ, the rafaqat. Rafaqat, rafiq. Rafiq means friend. And that person will be with the Prophet ﷺ, will be in the intimate closeness of Prophet ﷺ, will have the closeness, the nearness with the Nabi ﷺ on that day. Now if you think about this, this is such a tremendous blessing, tremendous inam. That these nawafil that we pray in this dunya, in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will grant us the closeness of the Prophet ﷺ. Right, people, we sometimes think about the Sahaba Ikram, that they were lucky, they were so fortunate that they got the sohbat of the Prophet ﷺ in this dunya. One way through which we can become the eternal Sahabi of Nabi ﷺ, not just this dunya for 80 years or 60 years sohbat of the Prophet ﷺ, me and you, we have the option, we have an opportunity to become the eternal Sahabi for all of eternity, being a Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. And one easy way to become, to reach that rank, is to have a habit of praying nawafil in this dunya. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be with me. They'll be my rafiq, my friend, my companion on that day. Allahu Akbar. So if you have the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ in Akhirah for all of eternity, then what greater sa'adat could there be than this? And now we come to this hadith and this series, which the reason why we placed this hadith Mubarakah here in a hadith. This is a hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi means that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the chain goes all the way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever has a habit of praying nawafil, then that person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way through which one can attain the qurb, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. And I've highlighted this particular sentence here that is very important for us, that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person, he draws close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the fara'is, and then وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ, that a person continues to draw close to Allah, يَتَقَرَّبُ, قُرْب, they continue to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to me rather, إِلَيَّ, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that my servant, he continues to draw close to me bin nawafil, with these nafil acts of ibadah, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I begin to love him. I begin to love them. And a person continues to do more and more nafil acts of worship until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to love that person. And this person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then subhanallah, when a person becomes the beloved of Allah, hatta uhibbahu, now what happens? Fa'iza ahbabutuhu, then when I love this person, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, then I become the ears of that person through which he listens. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبَصِرُ بِهِ, and I become the eyes of that person through which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا, and I become the hands of that person through which he holds. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, and I become the feet of that person through which he walks. وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُوتِيَنَّهُ, And when that person raises his hands to make dua to me, I accept that person's dua. This is an ajeeb hadith Qudsi. And the muhaddithin, they explain this. They say that the different limbs of our body, these are all the limbs that are mentioned here. These are all helpers to a person. They help a person. So for example, when you want to do something, we use our hands, our feet, our eyes. These are all helpers in our task. Through them, we're able to complete, accomplish our task. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I become the eyes of that person, I become the hands, one meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the helper of that person in his task. Allah becomes the mu'avin. Allah will help and assist that person in all the tasks that he wants to accomplish. And the second meaning is that these limbs of a person, they protect that individual. They are the muhafiz. They protect us. They are protectors. So for example, if someone throws a stone at you, you protect yourself using your hands. You don't allow that stone to hit you. You stop it. Right? When you are in some dangerous place, you run away. So these limbs that we have, they are our protector, muhafiz. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these limbs of a human, and the muhaddithin, they explain, they say that the second meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the protector of such a person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person from every kind of evil, from every kind of hurt or any kind of harm that could come their way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the muhafiz of that individual. Yani in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this, that this is the hal, this is the condition of a mu'min. That a person is doing amal, they're doing their own actions, but it's as if it's the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That, oh my beloved Messenger, when you threw sand at the unbelievers and it came in their eye, it wasn't you who was throwing, Allah was throwing the sand. And your person reaches such a maqam, such a rank of closeness where the amal, the action is a person's own. But that amal is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through these nawafil, a person can attain this closeness, this muhabbat, this belovedness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith mubarakah, it comes, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala narrates, that that person who prays a few nawafil at the start of the day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice for that individual throughout the day. And Allah will become sufficient, will suffice for that person tasks throughout the day. This is such an incredible, incredible incentive, that the task, the to-do list that we have for the entire day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be our helper. Allah will enable us to complete that list. Allah will do our kafalat, will suffice for us in accomplishing those tasks that we have for the day. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your kafil, your guardian for that day, then those tasks become very easy, right? Allah will help us. And the same thing was explained in another hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibn Adama, tafarrag li ibadati. O son of Adam alayhi salam, you know, O people, said, make yourself farigh to do my ibadat. Free yourself, give yourself some free time during the day to do my ibadat. Amla sadraka ghina. And I will fill your heart, fill your chest with sufficiency, with ghina, with wealth, wealth of the heart. Wealth of the heart and the wealth of the dunya. I'll give that to you. Wa asudda faqrak. And I'm going to remove poverty away from you. This fear of poverty, I'm going to drive that fear away from you. Yani you will become self-sufficient. You won't need to be dependent on other people. You won't need to ask other people. I'll give you that independence. So look at this, right? Such a tremendous faida person gets when they pray their nawafil. And then Allah says that if you don't do this, wa illa taf'al, and if you don't pray nawafil, you don't farigh yourself, make yourself free for my ibadah, then mala'tu yadayka shughla, that I'll make your hands busy with the work that you're doing. And Today, if you look at ourselves, and we are busy. We are so busy, but still we are not able to complete the things that we want to complete. We complete one, the second issue starts, and third issue starts, the fourth issue starts. We're not able to accomplish our goals, our tasks. And walam asudda fakrak, and that fear of poverty will also remain. So many times we see people who are business traders, they're earning a lot, but they also have financial difficulties. They have to pay loans, and their containers are stuck. Now there's a musibah, there's a calamity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising. So those who pray nawafil, such a ajr azim, such a tremendous reward, that I will fill that person's heart with ghina, with sufficiency in this dunya. And I'll close, I will drive away all the fears of poverty from that person. So we should have this, develop this habit of praying nawafil as much as we can. And one thing we should think, you know, we can pray nawafil salah, nawafil fasting as well. And there is one fine point that we should never leave nawafil, because we don't know that the sajda we do at a particular place, maybe that is the sajda which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved. Maybe that is the sajda which can make us the beloved in the sight of Allah. It's possible, right? So this nafil that I'm praying, perhaps this nafil that I'm praying and this sajda which I'm doing, my Malik, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might love this sajda. We don't know. Perhaps that is that one sajda which we think we don't want to. We're missing it out. We're missing out on that. But if we pray with this intention, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us his muhabbat. And you know, this is the month of Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan, we should try to increase our nawafil. You know, there's a misconception that many people have that we just want to stick with the farz only. Right? We just want to stick with what is necessary, what is required. And when there is something which is going beyond, right, doing something extra, doing something which is beyond the bare minimum, we tend to be lazy. And unfortunately, this has become our philosophy about Islam as well. We just go with the bare minimum. We just go with the bare minimum. Sometimes we explain this to our students, that we like to be D minus Muslim, right? D minus. And people ask this question that, you know, tell us, is it absolutely required that I should do this? And sometimes I reply that, imagine if a student comes to me class on the first day and the instructor writes down the course breakdown, the two term papers, the final exam, midterm, and the student go to the professor and they say, that is it absolutely necessary for me to write those two term papers? And the instructor asks, what do you mean? The student says that I'm not interested in getting an A or a B or a C. I just don't want an F. I want a D minus, right? Can you tell me what is the bare minimum I can do that will help to save myself from an F? I'm not interested in your lecture. I'm not interested in the course packet, in the readings. I'm not interested in the grades, in any success. All I want is just this absolute bare minimum that keeps me from getting an F. And if F is below 40, I want a 40. I don't want a 40.5, a 41, or 50, let alone 60, 70, 80. Now imagine everyone in the world, if there is a student who has this attitude, no professor would think that this is a desirable attitude. Parents would not think that this is a desirable attitude, right? The student is saying that I just want to do what is absolutely necessary, right? You drop me from a B to a C, that's not haraj for me. Kumaslani. Right, I don't want any to go below 40. That's the philosophy, unfortunately, we have when it comes to deen. But that's not the temperament of the Quran. That cannot be the philosophy of a Muslim. Because if we want to have that philosophy, then we cannot be in the religion of the Quran. Because in Quran, you know, there are so many verses. We'll have to remove all of those verses then. Remove all of the verses of taqwa, remove all of those verses of sabr and tawakkul and love for Allah and zikr of Allah and excellence in our deen, ihsan. Because if you go to the scholars, they would say, well, all these things are not strictly fara'is, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting a mayar for us, a standard for us. Allah is not saying bring me a D minus in Deen on the day of Qiyamah. Allah is saying bring me an A plus. That's the message of Quran. That's the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting for us in the Quran. And certainly, right, we begin with the bare minimum, but our outlook on Deen cannot be that we only have to do that which is zaruri, that which is the bare minimum. That is going against the whole spirit of the Quran, right? And in this, another way to look at this is the uswat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet was an intense model. The Prophet was not a person who just scraped by, got a D minus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran that that is your target. Your target is A plus plus plus. And if he realized this, right, then, you know, our concept of loss will change completely. Loss would be, haraj would be, isme kya haraj hai, right? We ask this. Haraj would be anything that would keep us getting that, keep us away from getting that A plus plus. Right? Anything that keeps me away from that, that is haraj, that is a loss. Right? All the students, we sit and we calculate our GPA, right? We frantically look at the little quiz, it's worth 2% of the grade, 3%. One quiz, maybe I can drop that, right? We're looking, we're calculating our GPA. And if we get like a 30 out of 50, we view that in our heart, ki to haraj ho, it's a loss. Our heart actually becomes sad at that, right? And we don't feel a drop of taqwa in our heart. And that's not a haraj for us. That's not a loss for us. But if you get that 30 out of 50 in a quiz, I mean, the mean, the average is 35, right? We go and calculate that mean so precisely just to see how many points were below the mean. We exactly know how to feel that pain and remorse at this loss. We are 5 points below the average of the class, right? So imagine if that is the pain we feel on being below the mean, then what amount of pain should our heart feel on the real haraj in our life, the real loss in akhirah, the loss in the pleasure of Allah, right? That is the real thing. And this month of Ramadan, one of the ultimate incentives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us to increase in our nawafil, Allah is saying that Allah will give a reward for one fard for every single nafil that you do, performed in this month. One fard equals one nafil equals one fard in this month. And for every fard that is performed in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward of 70 farais. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us. He is trying to help us in our training. Like you go on a 1 month intensive workshop, and people do things to facilitate your success in that workshop. They give you an environment, good food, good housing, good seminars, good reading material. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing all of that for us in this month of Ramadan. By multiplying the reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just multiplying the ajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also multiplying the asr, the effect that amal has on you. The nawafil will be increased to the magnitude of a fard. So it means that the 20 rakat taravi that one prays, right? The sawab, the reward, and the asr, the effect that they will have on our heart is as if we prayed 20 faraid, 20 rakat of fard outside the month of Ramadan. And Allah Ta'ala is boosting the power that we get by magnifying the power of our ibadah. The effect of ibadah, Allah is boosting that, right? And that's what we should do. We just need to respond. We should try to do then as much nawafil as we can in this month and try to free ourselves from other activities. Obviously, I think most of you are students, so you have to study. But other than your study, there should be practically, literally, nothing else that you should be thinking about other than Ramadan. Just take off from the other social activities, sports, social relations, right? This is a time when, why should I waste my time playing cricket, right, all night? Imagine if I, you know, if someone told you that I'll give you 70 times your daily wages, 70 times your monthly salary this month if you work overtime. Are you still going to play cricket? Are you going to play cricket all night if I'm giving you 70 times, right? No way. So look, this is how we think about the dunya. Allah is saying, I'll give you 70 times for every fard. I'll convert your nawafil into faraid. This is the month of doing nawafil. It's the month of doing ibadah. This, we should view this to be our season, right? This is my season, like people, the politicians have their season, election season, right? The farmers have their season. They're working day in and day out when it's their season. You should think that this is my season. This is ibadat ka season, nekiyon ka season, amal ka season, acts of worship. And I have to do the maximum amount of amal in this month of Ramadan. I have to boost myself. Think of it like the way you study in your final, the week before the final exam, right? This is your finals week, right? And for some of you at IBA, you know, your exams are also coming, right? If you're really lazy, then think about the way you would study one night before your final exam. People at that time, they're just students, they enter in their zone. They don't even talk to each other. They don't even talk to their professors, right? And that's what a Ramadan is, right? Maybe your weekends in Ramadan are free. Use the weekends maximally to do maximum amount of ibadah. Everyone around you should know that, you know, don't talk to him, but Ramadan. They should know that about you. That they shouldn't even come near to you in Ramadan because this guy has some craze that's come over him in Ramadan. You know, just you'll find him either praying salah or reading Quran or in the masjid or making dua or studying ilm-e-deen or sitting in a pious gathering. He's gone this month. That's how we should behave in this month, because it befits that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put so much barakah in this month, so much ajr in this month, we should reciprocate, right? We should reciprocate. If you look at this relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending so much, abd and rab. Rab is sending so much. All the abd has to do is to reciprocate. We don't have to initiate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is initiating everything. Allah's rahmat is coming on us. His karam is coming on us. His barakat are coming on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has initiated Ramadan. He has initiated all these things about Ramadan. All we have to do is just accept it. All we have to do is just absorb it. We just have to go along with the game plan of Allah. Right? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah ta'ala has gone to his extreme in his sifat of rahmat. Right? This is the maximum rahmat, the month of Allah's maximum mercy, maximum benevolence, maximum kindness, maximum barakah. So if we can become even 1% as intent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intent on us, you could become a wali overnight. You could become a beloved of Allah overnight. Overnight. It's just that we're not that sincere. We're not that serious. So this sincerity and seriousness can be built in this month of Ramadan. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith, that one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ would increase in this month of Ramadan would be these ibadat and these nafil acts of ibadat. And by nafil acts of ibadah, I mean everything. Everything you should do a bit more this month, right? You should pray your sunnah more regularly, read more Quran, make more istighfar, pray more nawafil, make more durood and salawat, do more khidmat of deen, study more ilm, make more zikr, make more dua. Anything and everything you can think of, you should do it a bit more. If you're a beginner on this path, then at least try to do it. Maybe you have never done it before. Maybe you've heard about things like tahajjud, right? Tahajjud is also nafil salah, or salat tasbih, or reciting Surah Kahf on Friday, right? Chalo, let me try this, right, in this month. This is the month to be a person of amal, a person of action. And you will, inshallah, then you will see the effect of those actions. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a month when we can increase, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to increase in our ibadat, in our nawafil in this month. Any and all kinds that are there. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to increase them in their quantity, to increase them in their quality, to increase our effort in them, in doing them, in being regular in them, and being aware throughout them, being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our ibadah, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that ibadah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al-wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.